search. Each man different, living his own way, searching, discovering numero uno.
Welcome, BBCers, to episode number 182 of the Broken by Concept podcast, the number one solo queue educational and motivational podcast. Our much anticipated episode today, Curtis, our season 14 ranked guide. We're going to be giving you 10 BBC approved concepts, tips, summary sort of, I guess, of what this podcast is really about. If you're new to the podcast, this is a great episode to start with. What we're going to be covering today, the 10 tips again or concepts, we're going to be covering champion pool, process. What does that mean? What does that look like? We talk a lot about process on this podcast. Reviewing, how to review, tilts, understanding your LP range, champion mastery, what does that actually mean? Mental stack, understanding your gaming background, and lastly, we'll finish off talking about how improvement, the journey, what it looks like, how it's not linear, and then lastly, about pacing your journey throughout the year. So Curtis, let's dive straight in here. Tip number one. Discussion point number one, I guess. Champion pool. Champion pool, because everyone loses their mind around champion pool. It is one of the biggest things. People think that's potentially a quick fix to get some maybe some LP. So what do you want to start with here, Curtis? Pool size. We've talked before about champion pool cycling, the importance of meta.
We'll start with champ pool size, I reckon. That's a good place to start. Now, the only way to do this properly is you have to do it rank by rank, okay? So,
Let's start with new to the game.
Yep, new to the game. Okay, if you're, let's say you're level 30 iron. If we're talking champ pool size, you know, I think you definitely kind of want to keep it to one or two at absolute max.
I guess ideally we would have the assumption that you've tested things, you've played a lot of different sort of champions, sort of get a feel of what do you like, what do you enjoy, what's going on?
Well, I'm going to say straight up, all the way from iron to platinum, you want to keep it in that 1 to 2 range.
Absolutely.
Right? Some people can do one, other people prefer two, but in there, right? 1 to 2. We'll come back to champ pool cycling in a second. Platinum to emerald, 2 is great. You can have 3. I'd prefer 2. Emerald to diamond, again, you can have 3. For me, anyway, in the MLA, I would say if you want 3, you can have 3.
I'm same.
So 2 to 3, I would say, in that emerald to diamond. Diamond to master, still 3. I don't really want to go higher than 3 in diamond. I don't think that's a good idea. Master plus, let's say master to GM, I reckon you could have 4. I think you can. I really think 3 to 4. You want to stay 3 to 4. I think as much as you can. Now, look, there are players in Master Plus that can have 4, 5, but I think that you really want to try and do 3 to 4.
Now, it's important to note, that's a general sort of guideline. General. Something that we have seen with our clients do well. Everyone's journey is different. You can't just be a one trick. One tricking is completely fine. One tricking is quite effective to climb. But there is downsides of one tricking.
One tricking is for a very certain type of person, right? If you're absolutely in love with the champion, it's undeniable. You don't have any pain of blind picking. You don't get bored of the champion. You're not complaining about the champion. Then OTP, that's fine. That's completely fine. But if you're ever thinking,
you have any doubt,
no.
Let's start building our
champ
pool.
That's right. That's correct. So that's a good general framework for champ pool size, I would say, right? Now, champ pool cycling, I would say this is probably this is maybe even more important than champ pool size in my opinion.
Yes, I agree.
Now, I don't know about you, but in my mid lane school, the Below Platinum program, I'm a massive advocate of champ pool cycling because most people OTP in the mid lane school. I recommend OTPing Below Platinum. But if you play too much of one champion and you don't kind of cycle through, you will lose. Most people, not all, most people start to lose their mind a little bit. They'll lose perspective. They will get bored. They'll view it as a chore.
Rigid view of the game.
Yeah, and they need a refresh. You need to refresh your perspective sometimes. You need to throw a spanner in the works and refresh it.
Having fun is such an important aspect. It is. At the game, learning something, even though you're still playing League, learning something new from scratch is just fun. It just is fun. It's like the honeymoon phase that you start off.
Because you're learning the 20 percenters.
Yes.
And that's fun. And it's easier as well.
Versus buckling down, you know, you're at a game 150, 200 with your champion. You're like trying to like break down, how do I hit my Zach E? Like, do I do it on the edge or, you know what I mean? Like, versus like, let's just have fun free.
Because the more mastery you develop on a champion, the more you actually understand the consequences of your mistakes.
Hmm.
And that can be painful and that can create a lot of mental baggage. I want to really simplify champ pool cycling. I think there are two major reasons you want a champ pool cycle. The first one is to refresh your perspective. Okay. It's more of a mindset, stage four oriented thing. You're refreshing your perspective over the game. Clean reset. The second one is it actually makes you a better player in the long run. Because the more champions you can see the game through, the more lenses you can see the game through, the better your game sense is going to be, the better your understanding of win conditions,
overall skirmishing, game knowledge.
Your skirmishing is going to get better. Mm. Everything will actually be better, right? I pose this to a lot of people. Let's say you get two Diamond 4 players, right? One of these Diamond 4 players is actually champ pool cycled. So he's a jungler. He's played quite a bit of Hecarim. He's played quite a bit of Elise. He's played quite a bit of Lee Sin. He's played quite a bit of Karthus, right? So he could actually confidently play. He's played, or say he has played, four champions to a Diamond 4 level. And then you get one other player. He's only played Hecarim to a Diamond 4 level. I would say, if I'm a betting man, I'm going to assume 9 times out of 10 that guy who cycled 4 different champions to Diamond 4 level is probably a better... He will have an easier time climbing. I think that's a better way to frame it. He will have an easier time climbing. His game sense is probably a little bit better. His intuition is probably a little bit better. And I reckon if I were to work with both of them, that guy would probably get results. Assuming they're the same relationship with the game, that guy would probably get results a little bit faster.
So let's go through a practical example of what champion cycling might look like across a period of 3 months.
Okay.
Meta changes and stuff like that. Let's use that one again. What did you say? Hecarim, Karthus,
Elise. Lee Sin, I think.
Let's chuck Lee Sin. So remember, because you'll be like, how does that work with, you just listed 4 champs, but how does that work with the 2 champion, 3 champion recommendation? So we started with Hecarim and Lee Sin. I always say you're still really, even though you have a champ pool of 2, you're still focusing on 1. I think you shouldn't be splitting your attention. Just go like, okay, this week or two, I'm going to be playing a lot of Hecarim, and Lee Sin I might chuck and I'll sprinkle in some games here and there. Then it's Lee Sin. Now I'm going to go hard on Lee Sin for maybe 2-3 weeks. And then maybe I now sort of maybe 50-50 go between them. Between when I decide to pick them or not, and then bam, I'm sick of Lee Sin. You only drop 1 at a time. That's critical. You drop the Lee Sin, you keep Hecarim. Now I'm learning Elise. So now my champ pools Elise and Hecarim. Now I go hard on Elise, and then I'm sprinkling in some Hecarim games. And then maybe I go back to Hecarim. I want to go Hecarim again. So it can be very dynamic. You don't have to just fully be like, okay, I'm learning one. And then you can go back and forth between them. Maybe you can even bring back Lee Sin. You can drop Elise and then bring back Lee Sin. But you've got to keep that 2 sort
of... It's usually the core 2.
The core 2 is important.
So
that's how you get all your LP.
All your LP, even the challenger, the rank 1 player in EU, who ended rank 1 last split in EU. He had a very similar thing. He had like kind of 2 core, actually it was 1. He was kind of known for 1 champ. His second was close, but it was overwhelming 1. Second close, maybe like say 60, like maybe like 50, 30. We're talking percentages, 50% 1 champ, 30% another. And then maybe like there was like 10, 10 or something like that, you know? So it was very clear that the bulk of his LP is coming from his core 2 champions. You know, maybe he's done a little bit of champ pool cycling there, right? So that is the core. That is the principle there. You have the core 2. And like you said, you don't remove your entire core. You don't shift your entire core 2 to make another core 2. You do 1 at a time. And then, but yeah, like you said, the majority of your LP is going to come from 1, if not 2 champions. That's very important.
We'll cover champ mastery later, but champion mastery is a massive aspect of League of Legends.
That's correct.
And that's why 1-tricks have a lot of success.
Yep.
So well, I guess what this champ pool cycling is sort of like, you're somewhat being a 1-trick, but not. You know, you're sort of like becoming more of a complete player. It's sort of you're trying to develop
as much champ mastery as possible without being a one trick and having a diverse view of the game.
And we think you have more fun that way by constantly
learning more things. You have more fun, better perspective. It's just better in every way, basically. Yeah.
All right, the last one we had here was meta.
Look, I think the main thing I want to talk about meta is to keep it really simple. Meta basically doesn't matter until master.
Done.
I think it's really that simple.
Yes.
Below master, you can play basically whatever the hell you want. Now, when I say it doesn't matter, it's in the sense that you can climb with let's say champions that are objectively not good in the meta to master. It's only when you get around, let's say very high diamond, low master, that's when you'll feel significantly the impact of playing an off meta champion, right? So champ mastery will overcome and the reason for this, let's get it specifics. Why is this the case, right? The games are played so suboptimally below master. So many mistakes are made. There's so much room to outplay people and just, play beautiful League of Legends that whether or not your champion is meta or not is not the distinguishing factor. Now, that's not to say it doesn't exist.
Win rates are a thing. Some champions have high win rates. So objectively, if you play that champ, you probably have more of a percent chance of winning that game.
But it doesn't matter in the sense that you can climb whatever the hell you want to climb with.
But there's lots of so many traps that people don't talk about, though, with following the meta all the time. You're sort of not really respecting champ mastery. Your mindset's always, what's the next champion to get me LP versus how do I become better at the game? Going to our BBC pyramid, I think a lot of stage four issues come from people that are constantly looking for the next meta pick.
And I think this won't really make sense until we go to the champ mastery section. There's a lot in the champ mastery section that will make what we just said here make a little bit more sense. People are going to get pretty butthurt over that. Oh my God, meta does exist and meta does matter. Look, the reality, yes, I'm not denying that. The meta is the meta. It is a real thing, no matter what rank you're at. You will feel it to some way, shape, or form, but it's not the be-all, end-all until master. Thank you to today's sponsor, Mid.gg. Now, this is an amazing platform for those of you who are looking to find VODs on your given champion or the champion that you main. Now, I actually am close with the developer, Jake. He actually asked me a year or two ago, he said, Curtis, what sort of platform are you looking for when it comes to, improving at your solo queue? What would you like if you could create any platform that you would want? And I said, well, ideally, I'd be able to find high-level VODs, POV VODs, because that's something that for all of us is really quite hard. If you type on in YouTube, I want to look at a Challenger Ahri VOD, 9 times out of 10, you get some crappy Domi Sun replay.
6 months old.
Maybe not even POV. And it's a bit of a pain in the ass, to be honest. So basically what Jake has put together with Mid.gg is this amazing platform where it basically takes all the effort out of finding VODs. So you can actually, if I say I want to find Fizz VODs, POV Fizz VODs, I can click on Fizz here in the Champions tab and it will automatically sort all of the recent Fizz games played on stream from famous streamers. So even here, look at this, 7 hours ago, Nemesis played a Fizz game. So I can just click on this and it's going to take me directly to the timestamp. Look at that, instantaneously, boom, we're watching Nemesis play POV on his stream.
From the level one,
beautiful timestamp ready to go. We can also check out his build here if we want to, and his build path, etc., etc. Now, the other... one of my personal favorite parts of this platform is that you can actually search matchups. So let's say I want to learn how to play Ahri. I want to see people playing Ahri versus Akali, right? It's the first one that pops up. It will automatically sort by all of the Ahri and Akali VODs. So Legit Korea here streamed it a week ago, played this matchup. I can click on it. Boom. It'll take me to his stream. Look at that. I'm watching Ahri versus Akali instantaneously, just like that, at the click of a button.
Extremely easy.
And the great thing about this, guys, is that if there's any extra functionality that you would like added into this platform, please let us know in the description below. Jake's a really nice guy. He's really hands-on. And whatever you guys feel like you need to make the platform even better, let us know. And he'll be probably happy to accommodate for that. So the link will be in the description. Please check it out. Last reminder, guys, this is not just for mid. This is for every champion, every role. It doesn't matter if you're a jungler, top laner, AD carry, support. Please check it out, guys.
Process.
Number two.
Number two, our second tip. Now, process is what our podcast is known for. We love process, but we work with our clients, you might hear a lot about the three-game block process.
Three blocks.
Let's start with why is processing important. People will be like, all right, Nathan Curtis, I want to play a legal, I want to play a game, fun. I do process at work, I do this. Can't I just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show? Why is process important, Nathan Curtis?
I think it's similar to what we covered with Champ or Cycling. I think it's very multifaceted. I think having a process, there are so many things. There are so many reasons. I think we have to just really start chipping away at them. All right. I think number one, League is a very, very, very hard game. The hardest game you will ever play, straight up. We can basically confidently say that, right? It's probably the hardest game you will ever play.
We have confirmation from a player that Rowan God, who has gotten the highest rank in all of the right games, Valorant, the card game, lots of different genres, and he says by far, compared to FPS games, the rank system, the way League works... The MOBA genre is the most difficult, most competitive game right now in the world.
That's right. So having a process... It adds structure to your learning journey, so you don't get overwhelmed.
You get confused in League really quick.
There is so much to learn.
Your attention can go in. It's like ADHD. It's everywhere. It's just absolute chaos. It's like, why am I losing? Why am I winning? What's going on here? This meta thing here, build here. What's this?
League is one of the few games where you can die and still not even know why, or you can lose a game and you can absolutely have no idea why the hell you lost a game.
And you can play well and lose.
You can play perfectly and lose, you know? So it is an incredibly overwhelming experience. So having a process, you know, it adds a little bit of structure.
I sort of think of it as like a foundation of a house or a structure of a building. Let's say, for example, a high-rise building, and you know how it's built to withstand wind. So then you're not literally, the buildings aren't swaying. So the way I think about having a process is that when shit hits the fan, when things are going bad, you have something to fall back on. Even though it might be a beautiful sunny day, the building doesn't need the process, but it's very handy when it starts getting really windy.
Yeah, it allows you to weather the shit storm, the inevitable shit storm that's going to come.
Yes, it's going
to come. The way I was actually thinking of it, Nathan, was more so, you know when you go into school for the first time, right? You start prep or whatever, you know, I don't know what they call it in the US or whatever. Preschool. There is so much stuff to learn to get you prepared for like college and university. So they put in this structure, right? There's grade one, grade two, you learn this, you learn this, you learn this. It adds, because imagine if there was no grades. Imagine if there was no, like, next to no structure. It's like, you just go out here, here's a thousand books, and you just got to figure shit out. I mean, it just wouldn't work. It just is not sustainable. It would be chaotic. You know, it would be a mess. That's kind of the way I'm viewing it at a high level. As structure. What to learn. What should we focus on as well? Like, I'm thinking process, not in terms of, like, the way you're going about learning, but also what you learn. I think it's a combination of both.
Yep. So do you want to start with the three blocks? So I guess three blocks is more like the actual...
The way you learn. Yeah.
So three-block process is essentially playing three games at a time. The reason why you might be saying, why is it three games? Why is it not five, six games? The idea is, how much can we focus as humans? 2-3 hours, we find, or probably like 2 hours, is pretty a good time of... League of Legends requires a lot of focus.
There's no downtime.
No downtime. Speed, playing with high intensity is a huge thing we talk about.
You should be exhausted after three games. If you're not exhausted after three games, or you're not even remotely tired, mentally tired, you're probably not playing with intensity. That's straight up. I'm going to say that straight up. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, if you're not even remotely mentally strained at three games, you're doing something wrong. You're not playing League of Legends, in my opinion. Like, I am, a lot of the time, I'm exhausted even after two games. If I'm really trying, right? So that's one thing. That's more energy management, right? And making sure we're strategic with our energy, because this is the other thing as well, why we love the three block. In traditional sports and hobbies, you have, and your body is kind of the gauge of how much you can output. Right, you can only run so far. You can only push so much weight.
Your muscles
will give out. Right, yeah. Your energy levels. Right. Whereas in League, you're sitting on the computer. right? So theoretically, a lot of people think, oh, I could just play all night. I can play for 12 hours in a row and I'm fine. Theoretically, you can, right? Because it's brain power. It's not physical power, right? You're not like sweating over your keyboard. I mean, some people, I guess you are. Sometimes.
Oh, I'm sweating, dude. When I play my Rexar, dude, busting my balls, collecting every, knowing what all three lanes are doing at every single moment of the game, Curtis. That's a lot of brain power.
All right. Okay. Apart from you. Most people are not drenched in sweat by the end of the 3 points.
A hot summer's day, Curtis. I'll be in my room sweating.
Anyway, yeah. So mental power, right? So, you know, theoretically, people think, oh, I can just play 12 hours a day. But we know that, you know, it's very subtle things. It's like, oh, you just don't use that lull state, or you miss, your skill shots get incrementally less accurate, or you're less intentional about your waves, or you're missing information. You don't check with enemy jungler
starts. That's the most common one.
The list goes on, right? The list goes on. So what, again, that's where that energy conservation comes in. We need to be, and in League, because it's such a brutal game, you can miss one thing. One decision or lack of a decision can be the difference between winning and losing, or at least putting the game in a certain direction versus another direction. Right, you die to that gank, boom, game's different. Game's not over, game's different. And that's our philosophy, right? You need to be super, super, super on point. The second one, I think that one of the main reasons we love the three-block process, Nathan, is that it prevents tilt streaks and tilt queuing, right? Everyone loves tilt queuing. You lose three games in a row. What are most people going to do?
Got to play until I win. The LP back.
Right, got to get the LP back. Exactly. It's like I'm in a casino.
I got to get my money back.
I go again. And before you know it, you've played 6 games, 7 games, 8 games. And the mental baggage from those losses is added up. You're playing incrementally worse. You're getting more angry, more frustrated, emphasizing other people's mistakes more. And before you know it, you're up shit creek. You've lost 7 games in a row, you're angry, swearing at people.
Even if you get the LP back, even if you win the games, you haven't really learned anything because you're playing for LP. You're not playing for improvement.
Yep, and you're tarnishing your relationship with the game.
The 3-block process, the great thing is, like, I have to step away after 3 games. It's like learning discipline as well. You're taking control of your mind.
And it allows you to schedule your day better. If I know, okay, I'm finishing work, I'm going to allocate this time period here to play League. You know, because at the end of the day, we view League as a genuine competitive hobby, right? With any hobby, it doesn't matter what it is. If you play tennis, you block that in a week, right? It's like, oh, I'm going to the tennis court, I'm getting my tennis lesson, getting tennis coaching at, you know, on a Thursday afternoon, boom, locked in.
You go there, it could be a bad lesson, could be a good lesson. You might just not be off one day, but you do it. It's part of your routine.
Exactly. And so what I think, there's an element of taking it more seriously. You respect the game more, right? You're coming into the blocks with more intensity as well, because you know, okay, I'm just going to play the 3 games. I will say here, you know, I think this is where also you got to customize what works for you though.
So people will usually say, oh, I don't have time for 3 games or something like
There's
that.
There's a lot of people in my program that do 2-game blocks. Mm. They're working professionals. They're very busy. They have kids, wife, whatever. And they play 2 games. Other people have more time. And they actually push it to 4-game blocks. They feel like with their energy levels at a certain period of the day, they're having a coffee, they can actually get 4 games in and they're playing with pretty high intensity. So you got to find what works for you within limits. I think for me, the way I view it is that 2 to 4, you know, when you're playing more than 4 games, that's when I think you're not even, the process doesn't, you're kind of breaking the rules of the process, in my opinion, a lot of the time.
So if you are to play multiple 3 blocks a day, so remember, you don't have to just play 1 3-game block a day. Although that's what we find is 21 games a week is plenty to
improve. Even if you played 15, I really think 15's fine? 5 days a week, if you get a 3-block 5 days a week with intensity, for the average person, I think you're going to get a lot. I mean, ideally, if you can even push it to 18, like we said this before, like, you know, there's a very big difference between 15, 18, and 21. 21 is great. 18 is, I think, basically perfect. That gives you a day off a week and it gives you, you know, that's 1 3-block 6 days a week. That's amazing. I think that's basically perfect. But between 15 to 18, if you can get that, you're smooth sailing, in my opinion, for the average person.
Okay, so if you want to do multiple 3 blocks a day, let's say you have lots of time on your hands. Sometimes people are in downtimes of school or whatever.
Even on a weekend.
Even on a weekend. this is where it can get dangerous territory. So ideally, a 1 hour break in between each three block minimum. Is that what you... I think the biggest one is just stepping away from the computer.
Getting off the computer. I would say sitting at least chair with an a hour. Headset
is just... You feel trapped sometimes.
I'm going to say straight up, Nathan. I just don't believe in three blocks.
You don't? So you think... You think two max?
I really think you need to be an insanely disciplined individual to play three blocks. Like, even the people that write to me and say, I'm trying to go pro, even them, I don't even recommend it a lot of the time. I think at max you would do maybe, look, if you were gonna, you really were that dedicated, you're at the extreme end, you wanted to legitimately go pro, I wouldn't do three blocks. It would be maybe two, three blocks and then watch high-level gameplay, watch pro VODs or whatever. Or maybe it's a... two block, a three block, or something like that. But I've never seen it done well. I'll be honest. I've never really seen that people lose their mind too quickly. They lose perspective.
So there is, you can, again, go back to process. You can have the process of having throw enough shit at a wall, eventually it sticks. Right. That's what we did.
Yes.
Like, to be honest, guys, that's what we did. We'd played 15 games. We didn't think really much.
But would that work now? That's the thing.
We don't know if it would work now. That's what I'm saying. But we could have sped up our learning way quicker if we played with high intensity. Didn't exist.
I'm going to say I don't even think that works anymore.
You don't think that works anymore?
Even the talented players now, I've seen the talented players now that are struggling and they've done that and it didn't work. I'm going to say these names, 6'10".
Mm.
He did the whole grind thing. He was a 16-year-old challenger player.
Mm.
He's talented as hell.
Yeah.
Amazing mechanically, everything. He couldn't get to the challenger, back to challenger, spamming games. He realized for him, less was more. He actually realized just one block of games and reviewing, watching a shit ton of Trovi was the thing that got him the results, and then doing 1v1s and stuff.
Mm.
So I actually don't believe, I don't even know if it's genuinely possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Will, when he got initially, again, another talented player, 15, 16, I think got rank one when he was 17 on the North American ladder, working with him, and he was high school, and then he would come home and play, no more than six games. It was usually three or four games a night.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Able to get rank I genuinely one. Don't know if it's possible anymore. So, you know, maybe the old school players, but you can't use them as an example. No. They've been playing the game for so long. Yeah. I'm saying now, if a new player were to play the game now, a talented young kid, and they're spamming games, would they actually get, you know, super high challenger with, you know, without that backload of years and years and years gameplay? You know, I just don't think it's possible. I don't think it's optimal. Anyway, we're on a bit of a tangent there. Anything else we need to talk about three blocks?
No. That's good for three blocks.
We'll come back to the review part later.
Okay.
End of week reflection. This is something I personally am a big believer on. You know, in league, a lot happens in a week of games, right? And I think it's important to kind of think big picture about what did you learn this week? What are you working on? Like, where are you at in your... Like, what are you trying to develop champ mastery? Are you trying to learn win conditioners? Like I think having a reflection at the end of the week, being like, okay, what the hell am I doing in my journey? What am I doing? What's my champ pool? Where am I at? How am I tilting? How's my... You know, just big picture, reflect on your week of games. And sometimes what I recommend a lot of people to do is just even just skim back on a lot of your VODs and even look back on your OPG and be like... Try and map out. Oh, yeah. Okay. That was that three block there. Okay. Yeah. What sort of mistakes was I seeing? Oh, yeah. Okay. That three block. Okay. Just mentally kind of reconciling. What's happening? What are you seeing? Any trends? Any patterns? Maybe not. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe you look over, have a think for a few minutes and you don't take anything from it. That's fine. But it has saved a lot of people, in my opinion, from going down, you know, toxic rabbit holes. Because like, oh, shit. Yeah. I've made the same mistake all week. You know, it's like, oh shit, you know, looking in hindsight, holy moly, or wow, I've had so many games where this is like a terrible game for my champion. Oh yeah, that's actually, maybe I have a hole in my champ pool or something. You know, it gives them, sometimes zooming out goes a long way. Now that's not for everyone. It's just what I would recommend to a lot of people.
Yeah, it could be as well simple as, you know, did I reckon I tried my hardest having a serious conversation with yourself? Like, did I play high intensity? I guess that comes into as well, sort of reflecting. So what narratives did I have this? How was I talking about the game? How was I talking to my friends?
How do I feel while playing? Yeah. I think that's an important question. Was I having fun? That's a great question. Sometimes you get so... It's like in life, right? You just go on like this autopilot sometimes. You're just doing the same thing. And then you like wake up. You're like, what the... This is not the most efficient way to do this. I could be doing this so much bit differently, you know? But you're just in the rut. You're in the, you know, the mundane, the shit show, just kind of doing, chugging away what's in front of you, you know? I want to talk about breaks for a second. I know Tim in my program, the other MLA coach, he's a massive fan of breaks. You know how many people don't take breaks? It's unbelievable. They will go weeks, sometimes even months, without taking a single day off from league.
Really?
Straight up. I would actually say that's more common than not.
Yeah, you're probably
right. It's crazy to me.
Because I guess everyone's on the computer all the time, right, nowadays.
And they were trying to squeeze in a block here. And the reality is that you need to take, at minimum, no matter who you are, if you're getting, let's say, if you are following this process, you're not getting, you know, let's say a decent amount of games a week, let's say 18 games a week, whatever, you need to be taking one day off a fortnight, at minimum, from league.
That's a good process right there.
Part of your process. Breaks are mandatory. Yeah, so that's my two cents.
Do you think there's times, Curtis, that you feel really lost in the weeds? You know how people like go touch grass or whatever like that? Like 2-3 days? Because people will sometimes worry about, okay, if I have a longer break, will I get worse at the game? What's too much of a break?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. From my observations, I've noticed that more than 3 days, and you will feel
a bit rusty on the mouse.
Yeah, you'll feel some rust. That's why, again, I'm a big fan of just one or two days is completely fine, right? Unless it's a severe case, you know, you're really messed up your relationship with league, then just 2 days is fine. 1 or 2 days.
Yeah, messed up relationship with the week with league should be weeks, months. Reassess. Sometimes get your life together.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. I 100% have seen that with people. They just, you know, step away from the game.
Yeah,
completely, and get their life sorted.
Yeah.
Get the games in. Right now, look, I want to be careful here. I think there are typically two types of players: the people that don't play nearly enough, and the people that play too much. This is more so applying to the people that don't play enough and maybe a little bit more, they get ranked anxiety and things like that.
They feel like they're a three block. They sometimes get scared with the word high intensity. If I'm not high intensity, why play the three block?
I actually think it's important. I actually want to circle back on intensity. I think that's actually really important. We should have mentioned that. Intensity is a misunderstood thing, and it is subjective. You know, I think we said on a previous episode, you want to be at like 98% intensity. You don't want to, every game is the most important, but least important, right? Whether you got to have the mentality that I'm really going in and trying, but you're not taking it personally.
You're not attached to the results of it. Cause sometimes people attach with trying hard equals winning.
The more they give, the more they expect. Right. And that's pretty scary sometimes. It's like, if I try super, super hard, I should be winning these games. No, you can't have that. It's more, we have intensity to maximize the learning. That's it. That's actually that simple. I want to play to my level so I know exactly where I'm at. I want to express who I am on the Rift. Wherever that is, okay. That doesn't mean I should win or lose more. All it means is that I know where I'm at. And therefore, when I get into the review, at least I know that's exactly my mistake. I can own that mistake. There's no thing in the back of my mind saying, I guess I wasn't really trying this game, so I'm not going to worry about that mistake. That's really what we're trying to weed out. We're just trying to get you to express your best self. And again, it doesn't mean that every game is the SKT World Final Game 5. It just means that you got to be having a crack, doing the best of your ability. That's it. And that's hard for a lot of people, especially if they haven't taken league seriously. Yeah. And that is a common, narrative we see with a lot of people, right? Is they purposefully, I actually had that when I was back when we were playing together, where I couldn't get myself to review. That was one of my reviewing mental blocks, because I knew that if I saw my gameplay and I knew that I was giving my all, then, you know, I wouldn't have that excuse anymore. But I knew that if I left things, you know, on the table, I didn't give my all, I could kind of have that. I could have that sneaky excuse. Oh yeah, I didn't give my all, so I could theoretically be better. I could beat these players. I could be this and that, but I'm not because of this. Right?
It's a very convenient excuse.
So convenient. Yeah. It's a
defense mechanism.
It is a defense mechanism.
To protect your ego.
A lot of people have that. And I've been there. I've straight up been there. And you know where that actually comes from, in my opinion? That comes from a lack of faith in your ability to improve. It comes from a fixed mindset. That's where it came from with for me. And I think for a lot of people, they don't believe that if they expose themselves and see where they are truly, that they can actually improve upon that. They're worried that whatever they see and the mistakes that are there, that are always going to be there and there's nothing they can do about it. Because a lot of people that we work with, just in my experience, haven't actually got into the weeds and done something really, really difficult and overcome a really difficult challenge and done something they're not talented at. Because we seem to gravitate towards what we're naturally good at, you know? So that's what we see a lot. And that's really, really important to note. So that's a bit of a thing with intensity there.
I'm a big fan. If you're new to this whole idea of improving at league, playing high intensity, low intensity, I think you've just got to spend a couple of months of just playing really bad League Legends. Just do it, you know, just play low intensity, because you probably won't know whether the feeling of the difference. You're still very, you don't know what you don't know. I think I like to call it pissing away time is good. It's you sort of like got to get into it first. It's sort of like when, you know, first time getting to the gym, like the advice is just pick up stuff and put it down. Don't worry about the form as much. Just get there, start doing it, and then you'll become more comfortable over time. You know what league's about. You understand the pacing. Then you can start being a bit more serious. So,
because you don't even, I like the gym analogy, because for a lot of people, they don't even feel like confident walking into a gym.
It's so scary.
Like the first step is like literally getting your gear on, like getting to the gym and walking in and then lifting something, you know, like that's huge for a lot of people. That was huge for us.
Absolutely. Just doing my first couple of reps of a machine or something.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
And like, I might not be getting huge results or anything, but like,
I don't have perfect
form. It's mental results. It's like, you know, it's like, holy shit, I actually see myself as a person that takes their health seriously and is actually trying to become stronger. Like, that was so foreign to us. Like, me and Nathan never went to the gym. You know, it was like a huge mental block, I would say. Like, we didn't see ourselves as gym goers. And changing that was massive. And I think that's the same for league. People don't see themselves as taking league seriously.
Because you know what the mindset as well, Curtis, was? It was either all in or nothing.
Yeah.
Versus
more comfortable
easing.
Doing nothing.
Yeah,
as well.
More comfortable. Because it's like, I'm probably, unless I do watch all these YouTube videos and like have insane form and take the perfect protein shake, then there's no reason to do it, right? Because it's I'm all or nothing type mentality.
Yeah.
Versus just embrace the suck, you know, get in there, just do some shit. Everyone will look at you, laugh at you. I was like super skinny. I could barely do the bar.
Yeah.
You know, but you'll be surprised how quickly you can become comfortable with something. Once you're comfortable, then you learn a bit more. Oh, I'm curious about that aspect. Oh, I'm curious about this exercise. I want to learn a bit more about form on that exercise.
And I think this is, you're actually spot on here, Nathan, because I think a lot of people, they don't even need to worry about intensity. Just get in there, throw shit at the wall, play three games, that's it.
Intensity is more for like players. I think that's more of like an emerald diamond for like people that have been playing for a long time and just absolutely in a rut. Like a lot of it's just intensity issues. Like we say it all the time, coaching diamond to master is actually not that hard because they have all the information, the knowledge. Most of the time, it's just they're just not really focusing that much.
Nah.
They're just on autopilot because they've been comfortable sitting in diamond for years.
Yeah. It's getting them to direct their attention in certain places, really, a lot of the time. Yeah. So I think there's a lot there for people to have a think about. Gives them a starting point. Anything else you want to, before we move on?
I think my last advice for process is write it down. Set a goal. Set the goal. Really practically, I'm going to do 1 3 block a day for 3 months. See where that gets you.
I agree, but disagree. I am a big believer in these things called 2 week challenges. Okay. So if you've never done a process before, like you're listening to this podcast, you've never done a 3 block before, it's very overwhelming to write something down and say, I'm going to do this for 3 months. It's probably not going to happen. Right.
A lot of people
start with just 2 weeks. Yeah. It's like, okay. On the 1st of Feb, whatever that is, to the 12th, let's say for the 15th of Feb, I'm going to do 1 3 block a day, 5 days a week, Monday to Friday, reviewing my first death of each game. That's it. 2 weeks. I can do this for 2 weeks, surely. You know, it's like start really small.
It's like taking the first steps. It's
take
like,
the first step.
It's like you see like an 1,000-step journey. And you're thinking about step number 980. It's like you don't think about that.
Don't get there. No. And then more often than what happens is that people, oh, this actually felt great.
Mm.
This felt amazing.
Well, it's not as hard as I thought it would be.
Wow, yeah, this is so much easier than I thought. Or, you know, more often than not, I hear the feedback I hear is, yeah, like ranked wasn't as scary as I thought. It wasn't, you know, oh, wow, wasn't as hard as I thought or whatever. And it's like, great. And then they're motivated to continue that the next 2 week journey. So maybe the next 2 week challenge might be, okay, I'm going to play my 5-3 blocks a week, but I'm also going to add in something else, whether it's I'm going to watch one VOD a week or one VOD a day or whatever the hell it is, you know? And then you start chipping away. Or maybe I review my first 3 deaths or I look at more in the review, whatever the hell you want. It's like, what's the call? Progressive overload. You're like, you know, slowly adding things in, you know?
And 2 weeks you find is a good time.
Yeah, I found 2 weeks is a achievable, not too daunting.
With a good enough sample size.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool. 2 weeks, done. I agree. I think that's a good idea. Moving now into reviewing.
Reviewing.
Number 3, reviewing. Now, we didn't mention this in the 3 block, but the idea, I don't know if yours has changed, but what I've done is 3 game block, 1 game, review, then queue. Don't queue up while doing the review because you'll queue and then you'll be distracted. So do that.
Well,
there's multiple other ways to do about it. Some people depends. Find the key thing with reviewing, you've got to be objective looking at your games. And the problem with sometimes reviewing in the block is it's hard to be objective because you're latching on your blind spots. You're latching on to the emotional things that have happened into that game. You might be blind.
Okay, let's just start bigger picture with reviewing. Okay. I want to start bigger picture. Do you need to review to improve? No. Let's just put it out there. There are people that have improved and climbed in league that have never reviewed a game in their life. Because...
Do you think really that's the case, Curtis? Haven't they reviewed situations in their mind?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What they do. They've never... But I'm saying they don't open up...
The VOD after.
The VOD.
Yeah.
And sit there and look at it. What they do is like they make a mistake and they'll recognize that like... They'll be like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah, I died to that or that's what happened. They'll reconcile it. But a lot of the time, you know... You can actually learn just by getting in the repetitions, putting yourself in a lot of situations and, you know, letting that learning sink in and being hard on yourself in game. You recognize, like you just said, you recognize what happened. So I want to put that out there. I think because, you know, the reality is that there are people that do that, right? Because a lot of people are going to be like, that's bullshit because I've got a friend who's never downloaded a VOD in his life and he's Diamond 2. Mm. So that happens. That's real, right? So let's just lay that out there. But reviewing, the benefit of reviewing is, and why we believe in reviewing is that it allows you to see things as it is, no bullshit, no bias attached, like the truth. It's like, okay, it's like when you know, there's an argument and like, you know, if only we were to go back in time and be able to look at exactly what was said and exactly what happened. Because in League, we're so emotional. It's like, oh, my jungler did that or this did that. But when you look at what actually happened... It's like, oh shit, yeah, fuck. I didn't ping that roam or they actually did ping and I didn't notice it or I could have actually responded to that way easier or I wasn't even leaning towards my ward here or whatever the hell it was. Or like, oh yeah, shit, I could have seen that. And then it allows you to see the situation for what it is.
Because using your argument analogy, you have an argument with someone, someone didn't record it and show you after. You've created a story in your mind around what was the focus points, what you focused on. You're in an emotional state, so you actually couldn't objectively sometimes see their perspective.
Because you're only playing the game through your lens. Mm. And you can't process, or you can't possibly process everyone else's information and what they're seeing and what actually happened.
Unless you're a challenger player.
Unless you're a challenger player, that's right. Or a very high experience.
The only way
player.
You get to challenger and being a pro player is you part of the game is being able to, that's your job, knowing exactly what I want and what the enemy team wants. That's how you play the game at the highest level.
For the average player, they don't have that ability.
No.
Right? And so really, if you're able to, you know, go into the review, then you're now just able to see the game from everyone's perspective and be like, oh yeah, wow. I can understand why my jungler didn't come here, or I can understand why XYZ happened. And that's really important for perspective. It's important for understanding your game set, like understanding the big picture of your games and also the minute details. And we'll say that, you know, reviewing is incredibly uncomfortable at the start for everyone, I think.
I mean, you said...
Even you as a pro player, you couldn't stand the sight of
it. I hated
it. Looking at mistakes was so painful. And, you know, not for now, but it was for ages. It took me years to unbreak that. And I think that reviewing is a huge skill. It is a massive skill. And, you know, if you're coming in, if you never reviewed a game in your life, you got to remember that you need to just baseline open the goddamn board and look at one thing. That's where you're seriously starting. I'm going to look at my first death, try to make sense of my first death, and then that's it. And then eventually you can get a lot more efficient. You know what to look for. You know how to review, asking high quality questions. I think that's a great place to start as well, asking high quality questions. You know, or actually, I want to actually backtrack on that. What I recommend to a lot of people who've never reviewed before is just, you know, it's hard for me to comment without, you know, looking at the rank of the player and all that stuff. But let's say general advice. Use your emotions as a guideline. I'm a big fan of that. Like, was there a moment in the game where you felt really confused? Or you felt really unsure? You felt upset? You felt angry? You felt anxious?
Yeah, frustration.
Frustrated. Yeah. These emotions are a sign that there's probably something to investigate. That and deaths, great place to start. Just look at it, make sense of it. And another little tidbit for review, I will say, take the time to look at whatever happened from the enemy's perspective. So if I die, say I'm playing Anivia and I get all in by this Fizz and I die. Or say even I get ganked by a Shaco and I die. Rather than looking at it from only your perspective, like, oh, gosh darn it, I should have you know, kept distance a little bit more. Ask yourself, if I was a Shaco, why would I come mid? If I was the Fizz, why would I go for this all in? What makes this so good? Sometimes looking at the game from their perspective, taking a second to ask that question goes a very, very, very long way. And we take that for granted. We do that automatically. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised. Barely anyone does that, especially in my MLS, mid lane school. And that's huge. That's how you develop game sense. That's how you develop game understanding and anticipation.
High quality questions. Going to people get into reviews, Curtis, people get concerned. They think of reviews like they see coaching VODs on YouTube, like an hour session and stuff, like look over one VOD. How much time should people spend looking at their games?
What do you suggest for your clients, Nathan?
So when I review with someone, it's going to be longer than a personal review.
Yeah, let's say personal review, let's say an average platinum.
I don't want people to be looking at the game for more than 5 minutes. I think 5 minutes.
Was it even less?
If you want to do less, 3 minutes. Like
3 minutes.
You should already, straight after a game or, you know, a game that you played, you'll remember the key moments in that game. You just zip through it, you know? I mean, I guess that as you become more experienced, the time will go. Maybe you start with, maybe if you're really, I don't know, even if you're new again, because you're looking, you got to force it.
Force it. It's like, I'm gonna do a review for 3 minutes, rain, hell, or shine. It doesn't matter how much or how little.
Whatever,
like,
I get out of it, I get out of it.
Exactly. You got to really, I talk about that in my program, like review pacing. Like you really got to be hard on yourself and just be like, all right, I'm going to really be short, sharp, and concise. And how much you get from that 2 or 3 minutes or whatever will obviously depend on how good you are at reviewing, but that should be the standard. I think any more than, max 5, but any more than 5,
danger zone. The great thing about reducing the time is it reduces the intimidation of it. Our philosophy is not, you're not going to sit at a game and you're going to solve all your problems with looking at like a 20 minute and like writing down everything. Our philosophy is speed of, okay, one learning, it sticks. I remember that. I've now logged that game. That's where end of review mistakes comes into play, because end of review mistakes are great for cataloging in your mind. This was a massive part of this game. This is why I lost this game. And that's all you take away from it. Take some principles, bam.
And we emphasize the early game mistakes more.
Yes.
Right? Your first 8 minutes are the most important, right? So when it comes to reviewing, if you feel as though your early game was problematic, start there. Always start with your early game. Start forward. Don't start from backwards to forwards. Go from forwards to backwards. Start from the start. Get that first 8 minutes out of the way. If there's anything there, get that shit out of the way first. Then, if you've done well in your first 8 minutes, that gives you permission to look at your mid-game a lot of the time, you know? I want to also talk about, I think, a great way to view reviewing is that you're solving puzzles. And I talk about it how, in order to climb in league, you want to solve 1,000 puzzles, okay? Imagine... A A puzzle meaning a tricky situation. It could be a mid-jungle 2v2. It could be an all-in in a 1v1. It could be a dragon fight, whatever. Your job is to go to that moment that you're unsure about. If you don't understand what happened, you're going to go into the review and you want to be able to walk away from that review knowing exactly what happened, what you would do next time, how you would come to that conclusion. Boom. Congratulations. You solved one puzzle. Now, if you solve 1,000 puzzles, you expose yourself to 1,000 puzzles, you are going to be a significantly better player.
And the key thing is building those puzzles, becoming pattern recognition for those puzzles. I've done puzzles 60 a bunch of times, and now it's numb muscle memory.
Yep. And that's how you develop intuition. That's right. Spot on.
Sloppy reviews, Curtis. Fake review. I guess this goes into fake process.
Well, I think, you know, the big thing we've both seen a lot, Nathan, is the whole, you know, pretending to review. Like, you're coming into the review with a problem-finding mindset rather than a problem-solving mindset. You're looking for problems, not solutions.
It's very easy in the mindset of why I lost this game. You just pinpoint to your bot lane going 0-10, and you're just reviewing the desk. How did that happen? Oh, what happened here? Oh, look at my Ezreal getting hit by every ability.
I think there was a great example. I think we covered that actually in the Nice episode. In the Nice episode, one of Nice's poor review habits was he would look at his top laner get solo killed, and then that would be his review. He'd be looking at why are other people losing, and just looking at other people's mistakes, and that would be part of his review process. Yeah. Because he was in a bad mental state. His whole, he was in that problem finding. Why are the reasons I'm losing rather than what could be the reasons, how could I win these games? You know, he's looking for reasons why he should lose rather than why he should win.
It just helps you have that mindset of, oh, it makes sense why I'm struggling in my LP. Like, these people.
Yeah, convenient. It's convenient way. Yeah, exactly. So, but that's one example of a fake process. Another one is even, you know, you're just looking at the surface level. It's like, oh, yeah, here I died. Oh, yep. And then boom, boom. Like, you don't even, like, I've seen people just skip over shit. It's just like, they look at it, they just go to the death. They don't really understand what, like, how they died, why they died, what the core reason is of the death, right? In mid, I'm going to speak for mid, you can die for so many reasons. Let's say, for example, you died to this gank. Well, okay, yeah, you died to the gank, and it's like, oh, I had no vision, okay? But that's, like, the very surface level. It's like, the wave was in a terrible position. You weren't even thinking about the enemy jungler. So in my opinion, a lot of time, like, a core reason might be, oh yeah, fuck, I wasn't even thinking about, I got a Shaco in this game. Shaco's super high threat. I should have had a different mindset. My mindset, my game plan, my whole lane plan should have been different, you know? Like, I think there's, like, very, very, very surface level reviews, and then, like, actually getting to the core reason of why you're making mistake reviews. I think I've seen that a lot.
Yep, I think that's a good example. Jungles have been interesting because your deaths are most of the time
obvious.
Yeah.
Right. It's like a bad engage, bad gank.
Or you show on the map, you don't know where the enemy jungle is, you walk into the river and die.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that makes sense.
But you can still break it down. Again, you could think about, why am I here even in the first place?
How could you come to that conclusion? How could you know? If I were to play this game again, how could I know that that was a bad gank?
How could I have prevented that? How could I have prevented myself from making that decision? This is great. Again, pike a lot of questions, really. And like, we've even seen people, they just, you know, they have a narrative they want to prove. They want to prove that they are an unfixable client. You know, we've seen people like that. They want to be the outlier in a way. They want to be, look
at me. I'm special. I've done 3 blocks in reviews. I followed the champ pool. I play 3 blocks and I'm still in gold. But in reality, they're just going into the review just to kind of go through the motions, to have an excuse that they are special and that they shouldn't climb in a way, you know? Like, is that...
Yeah, I think that's probably out of our pay grade, Curtis. It's like a psychological
therapy. That's more the 40K gold case study video, kind of like that as well.
Yeah, we won't cover that in this episode, that sort of narrative there.
Anything else in reviewing?
Did we answer our initial question, Curtis, about the in terms of you reviewing in with the three blocks? No, we didn't.
I think you said game review. All the different ways you can review, right?
So some people review the next day, just their three game
before
block.
You play the next block. Yep. You can review all three games at the end of the block. You can review in between the games. You got to find what works for you. Mm. All of them do work, depending on how you prefer to go about it.
With your goal, again, making sure that you're in an objective, most objective mindset as possible.
Yep.
And that's why sometimes people get really emotional in their three-game block. So the next day or later is important.
And also another question I typically get is like, okay, I don't have time for three games and three reviews. So a lot of the time I tell people, if that's the case, I'd rather you get the games in and maybe do one review or something. Yep. You know, like I think games are more important than reviews. If that had to come down to it.
Yeah, if I was to choose between. But remember, we're talking about 3 minutes.
We're talking about 3 minutes here. It shouldn't be the difference.
It's a 9 minutes total for a block.
You should even have a very... You could even, if you're that pushed for time, just queue up and then, you know, do your bait as much as you can in the queue, you know? Then moving on.
Number four, tilt. So this is also going to our BBC pyramid about stage four issues. This is what a lot of that we're going to cover here. Biggest thing here is... We're not all mental monks. You might see Curtis and I be like, wow, these guys must never tilt in this argue. We tilt all the time. The key thing is being aware of the tilt and managing your tilts. So the way I think about your rank journey as everyone is going to get tilted, upset, emotional. Your response, your toolkit that you build to deal with it is going to dictate how much you sabotage your journey or not. You basically, the three-block process is a huge part of minimizing tilt possibly happening because, you know, you have to step away after going 0-3 in your three block.
You know, I've always thought that just asking the tough question, you know, if you're tilted, why? Like we did that one of the five whys. Just why?
It's important to know, even though I say that everyone's going to tilt, sometimes your tilt is like inexcusable. Sometimes it's like, okay, why are you, again, going back to the, people could be tilting with the problem looking mindset, focus on the teammates' mistakes. I mean, you shouldn't be tilting because of that. Now you have to, you know, bring it back.
But a lot of the time when you really see it for what it is, it's just like, oh, this is pathetic. What the hell am I doing? You know, it's like, oh, I'm tilted at myself because I missed this skill shot. Then what? You know, you expect yourself to hit every skill shot, you know, like, or, you know, look, there's a very big difference. You can be, there are genuine reasons why you could get tilted and upset. Unfortunate shit happens. Whatever. There are frustrating things that happen in the league. I get that. I'm saying more often than not, though, from what I've seen, just asking yourself that question. If you see a friend and they're tilted, why? What's bothering you so much? Why are you so angry specifically? What's bothering you? Oh, yeah, my jungler didn't come in and help me fix this wave. What the hell are you talking about, man? You're that entitled that you're going to have a hissy fit over your jungler not listening to one thing. Did you? And then, okay, look at it. How were the quality of your pings? Did you give them a heads up? What were they doing on the map? Were they really far away? Was this even reasonable for you to expect? Or was it was? Or if it, maybe it was. Maybe you gave them the heads up. They weren't busy. They were right next to you. They could have done it, but they chose not to. Okay, welcome to League of Legends. You got to adapt to the bullshit. League's a very chaotic game. You know, I think a lot of the time when you don't understand why you're tilted, it makes you more tilted. Like, I really think awareness of why you're getting angry or tilted is so important. Mm. It honestly is 90% of the thing. You know, I think fixing or like overcoming tilt is not that difficult once you understand why you're getting tilted, in my experience.
It's sort of like talking about the tilt or toxicity in the game. A lot of that comes from, we say, the misunderstanding of how the game works.
Yeah.
Not being curious and thinking about why did my teammate make that decision. That goes again a long way around actually preventing tilt even happening because you're like, oh, that makes sense. You know, I'm in gold. People are going to make a lot of mistakes. I can't expect them to be a challenger player and I'm making lots of end of review mistakes. Once you start taking responsibility for your decision making, it's quite ridiculous to be tilting because of your teammates.
Because there's so many things that we're doing wrong. What gives us the right to be angry at other people making mistakes?
Yeah. When I think about tilts, it's interesting you actually breaking it down how tilts could be inexcusable because when it comes to my tilt, it's tilting at myself about how bad I'm playing. That's the problem that I have when I'm tilting. And again, that's where the three block, walking away from the game just really helps with that sort of stuff and just thinking big picture. It's like, okay, you know, I can't be expecting myself to be playing, you know, challenger, like rank one level gameplay all the time. Like, I've still got a long way to go.
And everything makes sense.
Yeah, and everything makes sense.
It's like, yeah, sure, you might get angry at the quality of your skirmishing, but it's like, okay, you know, right now you're playing a lot of champions that you don't have a lot of mastery on, you know, and you're playing a lot of different champions. And, like, you know what I mean? There's always a reason. And that could just be your level of play. Congratulations. That's just your level of play. You're versing very good opponents. These are very, you know, you're at your level. You're pushed to the extreme. Your mental stack is overloaded. This is a skill that you haven't developed in the past. You haven't put a lot of attention towards it. So, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And that's not to say that it will make you feel happy or anything. It's not like you're going to be able to be, yay, I get it now, I'm happy. It's more that, okay, cool, I can walk away from that. I can let go. And I think that's where I think one thing we need to talk about here is the emptying of the recycle bin. Because we're all going to leave our blocks with a bit of frustration, right? More often than not, if you play a 3-block, there's going to be at least one thing in there that probably left you a little bit pissed off, a little bit frustrated, whatever. Whether it's at yourself, someone else, whatever, the game, who cares? But, you know, the way you want to view it is that you got that recycle bin, all right? It's like on your PC, you delete it, you try to delete something, but it's still there. It's in the recycle bin. That's that mental baggage there. You got to find ways to delete and empty that recycle bin. Otherwise, it's going to get full. It's going to stack up. It's going to stack up. It's going to get worse. It's like in your house, right? You talk about it's like you don't change your bin. It's going to fucking stink like shit. You know, it's going to attract flies. It's going to be a problem.
Yeah, this, I guess the analogy there, it's like that's where bad narratives about the game, toxic relationship with the game, hating the game. League is the worst game ever. That's where that sort of comes in.
It gets worse and worse and worse.
If you're not emptying your recycle bin.
You got to be able to walk away from these mistakes. You got to find a way to do that.
I mean, it's literally like the way computers work, dude. If your hard drive's full, your max space, your computer slows down.
Yeah. And then you get more frustrated, like, fuck this shitty PC. Why am I getting my FPS is just so bad? Why does it take so long to open me?
Yeah. Well, your computer just suddenly just stops working.
Blue screen.
Then you're dead. Your league journey's dead. That's what they mean. That's
like you're dead.
Like. Yeah.
You
uninstall the game.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, you got to be aware that mental baggage is there. And you got to, and that's why, again, that's where I like that process of understanding why. Like, all right, I'm pissed off. All right, what happened? Okay, that's where the review comes into play. Ask the high quality question. Okay, yeah, boom, I can allocate that. Okay, I can remove it out of my recycle bin. Boom, that goes there. That's that learning. Cool, boom, move on. You know, it's there, but it's now out of my recycle bin. I've stored it away. It's clean. I've cleared out my bin. I'm good, ready to go for another block later on. You know, and I think for me anyway, I can speak from my personal experience, I find it very, very difficult to move on from things and let go of things and delete that, I guess, bin if I don't understand why. Like, I need to understand why, like, something's going the way it is. If I'm, like, getting really jacked up or whatever, like, I have to have that honest conversation with myself. Otherwise, I'll just lose my mind and it'll just stack up. It'll get worse. And, yeah, I think that's really important.
Anything more for Tilt? Oh, yeah. So, I mean, a lot of the thing with Tilt as well could be amplified by things outside of the game, like sleep, eating poor well, diet, you know.
Not exercising.
Not even getting some sun or something. Like, these things can really bog you down and affect you. Stage 4 issues, you're going to be really, again, asking why. These things could be bringing out Tilt.
I think, you know, you were slightly touching on this before, the whole idea that, you know, the better you get at the game, the more you respect the complexity in the game in a way, I feel like. Like, you realize how hard League is, like, as you start to, like, really get into it, right? And I think that, you know, a lot of, you know, lower ELO people, I mean, look, this is kind of not true, actually, because every ELO gets tilted. But what I've noticed in my two programs, in the lower ELO program, people get really upset and really angry over things much easier, I've actually found.
I have the same experience, actually.
Than actually the higher level players. Yeah. Not to say that the higher level players are perfect and they don't tilt and they don't get angry, but the lower ELO players, like, we're talking silver and bronze and stuff, they get really angry because it's almost as if they don't understand or respect the complexity of the game.
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
They haven't understood it yet. They haven't actually come to terms. This is a fucking hard game. Mm. And so when they make a mistake, they get so angry at themselves, they get angry at other people. But it's like, dude, like, this game's hard. Really hard. And like when you really accept that, you're able to let things slide a lot more. It's like, oh yeah, makes sense. I'm going to die to this. I'm going to make that mistake. My mental I'm pushed to the extreme. Well, that guy's pushed to the extreme. No shit. That's a hard situation to be in. Like, it's like, that's where the empathy comes from. It's like understanding the complexity of the game. So yeah, I've noticed that. So yeah, that's the bedrock. You got to respect the difficulty of league. And that helps with tilt.
All right, we'll move on to number five now, Curtis. Understanding your LP range. People love to talk about LP, Curtis. LP is a big talking point. People get angry when they lose 25 LP. In the grand scheme of things, the rank system puts you generally around where your skill level is. People always be like, that can't be true. People are ELO-ing favored by certain champions. Well, they might be a one trick and they're just at that skill level with that champion. The key thing, understanding your LP range, we think it's about, would you say about a 200, you're in about a 200, your skill level is about a 200 LP.
You're going to fluctuate. Plus or minus. Plus minus 200 LP, roughly. The worse your fundamentals are, the more you're going to fluctuate, I would say. Like the more...
There could be huge fluctuations.
You're going to have massive fluctuations. Yeah. So on average, you can get people that fluctuate way more. Because the reason we fluctuate, I think it's important to talk about why you fluctuate. Okay?
Sure.
Number one, not every game is in your control, right? You're one person in a game of nine other players, right? So even if you're playing well and you're playing out of your mind, you can still lose games. Number two, league's an emotional game. We're not always going to be, I mean, ideally we are always playing at our level of play. The reality, we might not sleep well that day. Might not have ate well, might not have exercised, whatever happens, shit's going on in your real life, you might not be playing at your best. So that's also a factor. Emotional aspects, stage four issues, whatever. Number three, there's a whole lot of stuff like in terms of not getting your role. You might not get your role in a ball. You might get unlucky, get your secondary role twice. You might get counterpicked in drafts. You might get really unlucky. You can genuinely get unlucky games where you get counterpicked or they pick the perfect champs into your pool, and like it's just there's just really hard games. You can get like a series of just really hard games. Conversely, you get really lucky. You can genuinely get lucked out. You get bailed out a few games in a row, win four in a row, and they could have easily been losses, but because your jungle won a Baron Smite or something, like things go your way, they could have easily not gone your way, and you get lucky.
That's where the plus minus 200 LP comes from.
That's right. They're the main factors I would say where the plus minus 200 LP comes from. But on average, you're going to be fluctuating in there somewhere. So this is why we can't get so caught up in the LP in the short term. You might be up 100 and think you're the top of the world. You might be down 100 and think you're playing like shit. You can't gauge what's happening by just looking at
if you're actually improving at the game or not. Yeah, it just
and that's what people struggle with league. They hate that there's not this clear like metrics. Like I have some guy yesterday in the MLA lost his mind. He just quit. Right? He left the Discord and everything. He's like, fuck it, I canceled his subscription. He went ham, right? I woke up, he's gone, he sent me this message, I'm done, whatever. I'm like, oh shit, okay. And then he said, oh, I'm sorry, I just lost my mind, you know, I want to come back, whatever. And I said, what's bothering you, man? He's like, I just get so frustrated that, you know, it's not clear metrics to know when I'm improving and when I should win and when I should gain LP and when I'm losing. You know, he hates the fact that it is this very muddled, muddy...
It's not black and white.
...chaotic journey. It's not black and white. You're not going to have an input... I work on this skill, I get this amount of LP. I do this, I get that. It's just not. You have to be okay with the fact that I might work on three skills and still be the same rank. But then randomly, boom, one day things might click. And he hates that. He's really, really struggling with that idea. And he loses his mind. He has a few unlucky games. He overthinks those unlucky. He loses three in a row. And he's like, oh my God, I'm so far back now. He's thinking about the LP. He's not thinking about the learning and the improvement. And then he lost his mind.
So that's where the real back, the process reviewing.
Focus once, on the learning.
Once you're in that area, the first part of this podcast episode, then understand your LP range. You won't really be thinking about it, to be honest.
I will say though, I think the LP range, understanding your LP range is a really good toolkit. To help you not lose your mind when you're losing a few games or you're winning a few games. Remember we said this, Nathan. it's dangerous to celebrate wins, get super, super, super excited about winning, because when you lose, it's going to be a big deal. I hate seeing, oh yes, they post their match history in the Discord. Les, I had a great block today, and they post like four wins in a row. I'm like, dude, you're cool, you know, thumbs up, you know, things are clicking great, but be careful, you're gonna get a 0-4, you're gonna go 0-4 at some point, and if you're celebrating, get super excited about four wins in a row, what's going to happen?
There's going to be big crashes.
There's going to be, you're going up, up,
you
up.
You want to be at a very emotional, stable level. It's like, okay, cool winning.
Yep.
Cool,
recognize the small wins.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, guy, League is just so much more fun where you're just getting into the game, the decision making. That'll be at the end. Yeah, you will chasing goals and achievements, but that's just not, that's just a byproduct of, it's just, imagine if, just visualize this mental state where you're having fun in game, you're winning and losing, and you actually achieve your goal. And then that's fun as well. That's awesome. It's just a win-win-win-win scenario.
I actually had someone reach Diamond, and he said, that was really underwhelming. He said, I was excited. I got it. And then it's like, oh. That's what he said. He said, oh, and then I guess what's now? I got to get a master now. You know, he's like, he thought it was going to be this massive thing for him. Mm. But, you know, congratulations, it was great. Everyone was getting hyped for him and it was awesome. But he's like, oh, that it. And he's like, that's when I think he really realized that it is about the learning. It is about being a better player. It is about like that whole, you know, not looking like a diamond player, being a diamond player, getting excited about the underlying skills, because that's what truly is fun about League. And that's what the rank system is. The rank system is a meritocracy in terms of the best, the higher LP you are, the better player you are. That's it. Right? They have better, more refined skills. They have better execution, better game understanding. That's simple. And that's what we want to be. We want to get to there. Mm. We don't really care about the rank as much.
So yeah, with understanding your LP range, I think the key mindset is you're looking to raise the floor of your range. Don't chase Diamond 3. You know, think about, how do I become a master tier player or challenger player? Think about what does challenger skirmishing look like? It's very easy to be like just trying to claw your way, like for 50 LP. It's just, you're not going to get anywhere that way. You're going to think bigger picture, aim higher.
I'll also say the big thing about raising your skill floor, though, it's more about increasing the consistency of your fundamentals.
Yeah, because part of the raising skill floor is those games where you're ruining it for your team. If you limit the amount of your damaging, that actually is helping your floor up a little bit. People think raising your skill floor is like just pure improvement. It's actually fixing your really bad games as well.
In League, right? If you want a very simplified way of climbing in League, is that there's two skills. You're going to have to say yes to certain things and know what to say yes to, and you're going to have to figure out what to say no to. The way I view raising your skill floor is that you're getting better at the skill of saying no. What do I say no to? And then, yes, that's only going to get you so far. You also got to say yes to things. You know, you got to have be proactive.
Ping things
and take control and think about, you know, call lane assigns, whatever. But what I'm saying is that if you get very, you know, you got to do both. You got to learn new things and you got to develop more muscle memory, more consistency over the things you already know. And, you know, that's the way you want to view it. And I found more often than not, people get obsessed with wanting to learn new things, new sexy things every time, new learning objective every week. Give me another thing. What else do I need to learn? But it's like, dude, you're still just not consistent enough. You give an example. What's a thing that people love to move on from, but you know they're just nowhere nearly consistent enough?
Well, that's a simple one's just ganks. They'll always expect a gank is available after they finish a jungle clear or their perfect sequence of camps. And then they go for it and then they lose the game versus just saying no to the player and just recalling and just going back to your other camp.
But they can't be that, you know, they have to get to the point where they're never, not like barely ever making that mistake.
Forcing a gank,
rather
yeah.
than, like, it's not, it's, you might successfully not do that for three games in a row. Great, but what about the next three? What about the next three after that?
Well, also, as all those three games, you might not be in a situation where you had a difficult situation. The biggest problem with the junglers is that when they have no jungle camps up, they would lose their minds. They have to do something. Otherwise, if they stand still, they feel like they're losing the game. Huge problem for junglers there.
I also want to talk about here. Yeah, that's what I was talking about there. Improving execution versus learning something new. And what I've noticed is that people, it's just not sexy, is it? Getting more consistent at a skill that you feel like you already understand, it's just not sexy. People dislike doing it straight up. But that's what really, it really matters.
League, always a league is boring is sexy. The boring things, you'll be surprised how far they go. The fundamentals.
Call fundamentals for a reason.
Yep.
But it's boring for a lot of people, and you gotta do it. It's like eating your broccoli as a kid. All right, you can't just eat your the meat.
Brussels sprouts,
kid. Can't just.
It's the Brussels sprouts, not the broccoli. Broccoli's delicious.
Really?
Did you hate broccoli?
I hated all. I was eating all the meat first, and getting the full and the mashed potato and the meat, and just leave the broccoli and all the peas and shit. Yeah. Okay. But you got to, and I learned as I got older, okay, let's start there, get the shit out of the way, and then I can get into delicious food.
All right, there you go. So Curtis has not grown up.
Hey, I like it now. I just didn't like it when I was a kid. But yeah, you can't avoid it.
So the last point we hear is train yourself to not be concerned about the LP fluctuations. I guess that's probably a good way to wrap up this segment.
That's really what
we're trying to do.
Don't get too bogged down in
the details. Get distracted. Get lost in the beauty of the game and the execution.
That's a very beautiful way of saying it.
Next up here, number six, champion mastery. Now, we love champion mastery.
It's a big one.
So, Curtis, the way that we describe learning the game, especially for new players, is you learn the champ first, then you learn the game. Once you learn how to use your abilities, kill people, then it's free up mental stack. I mean, specifically for junglers, once you know how to clear your jungle camps, you can actually read the lanes. You can actually go there. Is that a good way you think
about it? Yeah, champ mastery is the bedrock.
It's the bedrock of the game.
That's it.
That's what we've found.
Yep, champ mastery is the bedrock. If you don't have champ mastery, you don't know how. If you have to think to control your character or think about what your champion wants to do or what to, how much damage you do, you're screwed. That's it. You're straight up screwed. So that's where it all starts. Develop champion mastery. Really, really simply, you're either doing one or two things in League. You're either getting better at your learning your champion, getting better at your champion, or you're getting better at the game. And you can only get better at the game once you've gotten better at your champion. Because we need to have enough a freed up mind or mental stack, which we'll cover in a second, to actually think about the game. You cannot think about the game. You're purely reactive to the game. And I think the analogy, the metaphor we've used is the car one, in a way, right? Right. So let's say, for example, right, like you can't learn to race before you learn how to drive. Like you can't even think about your environment. You don't. If you have to, like, when you're first learning a car, your mental stack is so overwhelmed.
Checking the mirrors.
You can't. You don't. Even, you have to think about what the accelerator, how much brake, how much you have to put your foot down on the brake and your accelerator, the mirrors. You're so concerned about what's happening in your car. You're so unaware of your environment until you actually have familiarity with your car and you feel out your car and you're one with the car. Then you can actually learn how to drive and learn the rules and actually be, oh, okay, yep, there's a car there. And, you know, that's when you become a truly great driver.
Great analogy. The
exact same thing in League.
Yep.
And there's no way around that.
A key point here, people sometimes, it's easy to think that you're pretty good at your champion. You can always take your champion to the next level, guys. This is such an important tool that's worked a lot in my journey. I've thought I was really good at champion. It's easy to have those games where you go 15-0, 7-0, you're like, I'm so good at this champion. But you're having those bad games. They're going to be happening, and there's next levels to this, guys.
You know how to get this point across now?
How's that?
Go to YouTube, type in LOL Dobby. Is Dobby LOL or LOL Dobby? YouTube channel. He features the best players in the world.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Like the 15th rank one China player, best Silas, best Aatrox, best whatever, right? When you watch these videos, you will see that you are not even fucking in the same universe of what you think is capable with the champions. You know, I will say, quote, this is from AJ. AJ, challenger, NA player, he can play a lot of champions to a high level. He can shit on many people in GM with like probably like seven champions. He realized recently that even now, even as like a challenger player, he's nowhere near what he's like. He's scraping the surface in terms of what he's capable with his, even with his main champions. There are players out there that show the champion play to his. You watch Aurel King, for example. Aurel King, the best Aurelia in the world. Words can't even describe how good this guy is with Aurelia. But there are players who do this with all champs, not just the most mechanically skilled ones. You look at the best Anivia in the world, Burkhan or Necreb or whatever from EU. The way he plays Anivia, fucking insane. You think of Nivea as a simple champion. You look at the best Annie in the world. Incredible. The auto spacing, utilizing your auto range, the levels that you can achieve on champs that you perceive as basic. It's unbelievable. Get inspired. This is why I love telling people to just watch amazing players, just to get inspired, get excited. See what the champ is capable. Holy shit, the damage this guy did. The movement, ability usage.
They'll be doing damage you didn't realize you could be doing. You're like, what was kill threat there?
As someone who's played the game for like 13 years, played champs for high level, many, many champions, when I watch some of these LOL Dobby videos, I'm like, wow, I genuinely didn't even know this was possible. Mm. So get inspired.
The important thing is when you're looking at those VODs, you don't sit there like thinking about what was their game plan, what's the win condition here. Just look at fighting. How they're doing damage. That's the key thing you're looking
ability
for.
Ability usage and fighting.
That's what we talk about when
absolutely
it comes to
spot on.
That's what we talk about when it comes to champ mastery. And the best thing going into reviews, if you're in, if you're starting to learn the champion from the get go, in your reviews, that 3-minute review we talk about, just ask, how should I use my E, my ult better? Should I hold? What I've found recently making a bunch of guides for my academy program is that learning to hold your abilities is one of the most important skills that has a trend on every single champion. That's just the way League works, because you use your ability, you have cooldowns, you can no longer do things, especially if you miss a key skill shot or something like that. So think about how people are using their abilities. But there's also an aspect of ours, instantly using your abilities, catching people off guard. It's, again, not black and white. There's different variables that go into play there. So we've got here, focus on one ability at a time. I think that's good advice for champ mastery.
Spot on. You know, whenever, if you're confused about how to get better at your champion, look at, like you said, look at one ability. How they're using the E, Q, W, R, and then go deep on that.
I work a lot with Nocturne players. Just champions in general that have a reference point of R is really important, Fizz and stuff like that. Your first three ults have to be kills, should be your mindset. And if it's not, review it. And you know what the funny thing is, you'll be able to apply so many other principles through that. Why that's a high percentage kill, it's a low percentage kill, why I'm missing kills. Is there anything else? More for champ mastery?
Basically the main
things. Simple, isn't it?
I think we move on to mental stack, and I think that will tie it together beautifully.
Yeah, because this is why champ mastery is so important, to free up the mental stack. So let's start with big picture, Curtis. What is the mental stack? I guess when we talk about mental stack, it's like muscle memory, subconscious. We talked about pattern recognition
A better way to think about mental stack is think about it as bandwidth, like mental bandwidth. It's like we're only capable of thinking, like our working memory. We can only have so many things in our brain.
Let's put a number, 5.
Right, let's just say, I like to put it a different way. This is how I think of it, right? Imagine you have 100 brain points, all right? Keep it really simple. You have 100 brain points, right? And when I'm playing League, I might have to allocate 20 points to looking at the map, another 30 points to actually think about CSing. So that leaves me now with 50. And then I've got maybe, I have to now put 35 of that into trading, so now I've only got 15 left, right? So, okay, 15, all right, now I've got to think about maybe my next reset. Boom, I'm maxed out. I can't process any more information. My mental stack is full. Everything else I'm doing is now just going to be anything that's embedded into my muscle memory. I'm just going off intuition. So that's where my intuition and things deeply embedded into my subconscious and, you know, all that stuff, that's where that comes into play. So the more things that you can pull, the more things or the less things I have to focus on in lane or it actually occupied with 100 brain points. Let's say, for example, I was so good at understanding my trading in a particular matchup. Instead of occupying 30 brain points, it only occupied 10. Wow, I can allocate that extra, the 15 or whatever it is, brain points to something else. Maybe I could allocate that to tracking the enemy jungler or something like that. Something else. Or I can allocate that to more map awareness so I can actually die to less ganks. You know, the it's endless. And so really, you know, that's what the mental stack is. And so when it comes to mental stack, you got to think about it in two parts. Want to obviously develop intuition and muscle memory so we can minimize how much our mental stack is getting filled up. But then also allocating things properly in the mental stack. And I talk a lot about, this was actually the big thing that got Central to Challenger. Mm-hmm. He said, thing I pointed out with him is that, you know, your mental stack's fine, but you're not allocating the things properly. It's like, okay, if I'm versing a high threat jungler, you have to allocate more of your mental stack to surviving ganks. If you're versing a Shaker or a Rek'Sai, you have to allocate maybe 40 mental points or brain power to thinking about that jungler and how they're going to kill you. Versus if I'm versing a Shyvana, I don't have to give a flying fuck about that Shyvana. Mm. because I can't die.
Yeah. So they're like 5% of your mental stack.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't, 5%. So my point being is that his was static. It's like, all right, no matter what I'm versing, no matter what I'm doing, it's the exact same no matter what. And when he realized that, and you can actually look at the team comps and look at the situation you're in and allocate it properly, that's when he started to skyrocket, because he could think about where to put his energy properly. Mm. So mental stack is this kind of, I guess, two elements there. And that is really why the muscle memory and building muscle memory is so, so, so important. And that's why league is a game of repetitions and it's a game of feel. And a lot of coaches, this is, I think, where we differentiate. I think, you know, some coaches, I'm not saying all coaches, but a lot of coaches are so big on the macro game and the I guess the intellectual aspect of league. And that's very important.
That's the sexy stuff.
That's the sexy stuff. But, you know, getting the, having that feel of the game and embedding that muscle memory and not having to think is equally important, if not more important.
That is flat out more important.
Straight up more important, yeah.
League is an anticipation game, not a reaction game.
That's right.
League is what, we always change our number, 80%, 70%. You'd like 70% surfing and 30% chess.
Yeah, right. But the reason for this is because the game moves too fast.
Yeah, you can't rely, it's not possible. There's too many variables.
Too many variables, too much going on.
You have to be able to not think.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I have a story from my stream today. I had Ryan, who came on my stream. He's a master tier player on NA. We literally had the conversation about what he was building. We said, you're going to be building... He said, I like Riftmaker. We built in Riftmaker. We had the conversation. And items is a big deal with all the new season 14. And we get into the game, first base. He's bought a Blasting Wand. He can't build... He has to build Leandre's now. Because he had that mindset, the muscle memory of the demonic embrace from last.
So much muscle memory there.
Think about it, we had the conversation beforehand. We said it was a big deal. I was different with chat items. We're going to go with Fakers of Shells. And he still couldn't build the item properly because of how powerful the subconscious mind, the mental.
And how overwhelmed his mental stack would have been doing all the other stuff.
Yeah, again, live coach as well.
Yeah.
It's a great example.
What I will say here as well is that, you know, you're spot on, because people completely underestimate the difficulty or like how overwhelming league is on the mental stack. Him being on stream, doing that live coaching, thinking about his jungle clear and the big ganking or whatever the hell it was so much for him. He had no room left. So he had to default to whatever his intuition had. And this is why it's so easy to watch league rather than play league. We're so critical of people. Oh my God, look at this new making this pro player making this mistake or whatever. Dude, if you're in this situation, you know how hard this is? And that's why the best players make it look easy. Like you watch Trevor, he makes it look easy, but he's doing so much. It's the execution. The execution aspect of league is what makes it hard. The macro is actually not that complicated. Like really, like once you get it, like the fundamentals of the game, you get how the game works. I would say that, you know, I mean, look, I want to take that back, actually. It is complicated, but like I would say relative, if we can compare them, the execution aspect of the game is way more complicated and has a much higher skill cap than the macro aspect of the game.
Absolutely.
By far.
Yes. At the end of the day, the game, League of Legends, is a fighting game.
It's a fighting game. You got to kill shit.
You got to kill shit. You can't win the game by like...
You got to do damage.
Like rotating here, dragging them and getting the tower and then run away.
Control wards don't do damage.
No. There you go. That's a good saying. I like it.
And that's the reality. So, and this... Okay, one thing about this that I think is so important is that just because you've developed a skill doesn't mean, you know, it's in your muscle memory forever. Okay, so like, okay, I'll use an example, okay? Let's say we take an average gold 4 player, okay? We put him in a game with all gold 4s, okay? In that game, let's say, let's use a specific thing. Trading in a specific matchup takes 30 brain power, okay? If he were to be placed for some reason in Smurf queue, and he gets placed versus a platinum 4 mid laner, that trading is not going to take up 30 anymore. It could take up 80.
Because the pace of the game's faster, they're punishing you for trades more. Because you're used to the way gold players were trading.
Exactly. The game changes. So what happens, and this is a trap people fall into, they climb. They're versing better quality opponents. They think
that their laning was great.
They think they need to learn new things. That's what's holding them back. No. You just don't know how to execute the things that you were doing before against a better quality opponent in a faster paced game versus people that have more foresight, blah, 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 blah.
Such a big trap, isn't it?
Such a big trap.
It's such an easy trap.
And it's such an easy trap to fall into.
Yeah.
Because you think I've developed that skill before. I built that habit. I was comfortable with that before. And then this is what happens, Nathan. They come into a review. And I talk about that. Oh, yep. You got to work on your trading again or whatever. And then they say, oh, why does it feel like I keep making the same mistakes? Why does it feel like I'm not going anywhere? Dude, you're just versing a better quality player. That doesn't mean you're not going anywhere. That doesn't mean you're not making the same mistake because you're not versing the same players. Such an easy trap to fall into.
So yeah, I think that's the 100-point system is a good way to think about that for the mental stack there. And remembering that it's going to change. The higher you go, the faster the game pace is, the more pressure on your mental stack. And this is why when people initially get to these high ranks and, you know, a lot of people, I have a lot of people that were, you know, master, getting into grandmaster games. They just get overrun. But I say, just relax. You just need to get the reps in. Get the pace and then you'll be like, oh, okay.
Solve 1,000 puzzles.
Yeah, it's not actually, once you build all the muscle memory, you have great champion muscle, you know what you're doing with fights, it slows down the game a lot in your mind. Even if it's fast paced, it's actually not fast paced.
Yep.
You know?
Spot on. Moving on.
Number 8, understanding your gaming background. And this is an interesting one. This is less game specific. This is more...
Big picture.
So a lot of people see their friends or they hear about people's journeys. You must hear a YouTube video, how I got to Challenger in 1 year, or I climbed from gold to master in, you know, 3-4 months. Everyone has their own journey. Everyone's on their own journey. Gaming background is a massive part of, I guess it's sort of talent in a way. Knowing how to control a mouse and keyboard. If you're an Xbox player or a, you know, console player moving to PC, you're probably going to have a way harder time than a person that didn't even play competitive games. Let's say they played RuneScape for years. They've got that feel of mouse and keyboard. And here, I'll get that, Curtis.
Yeah, no, totally, 100%. And the reality is that we're just all different. It's not an even playing field.
No.
Right? We like to think it is, but it's not.
People learn things quicker or slower.
That's a fact. People learn things faster or slower. You know, if you played, you know, if you, Nathan, you know, you played WoW since a young kid. You played competitive WoW from a young kid. You held yourself to a higher standard than that. Every game you played, you were like pretty competitive at it. So then when you came to League, you know, Guild Wars and all that stuff, you know, when you came to League, it wasn't your first rodeo. You'd been through this rabbit hole before. You know how to improve at a game. You know what it means to be competitive at a video game. You're very comfortable on a PC. So you have, comparative to someone, imagine someone starting out the same day who's never played any competitive online multiplayer game before.
It's an unfair advantage.
It's not even a competition.
Even though we're starting the game at the same time, I'll learn way quicker.
Playing the same champs, doing the same role. It's not even the same. Not remotely the same. And the reality is that this is a tough pill to swallow for certain people. It's like, why is my friend so much better? And it's just, you cannot compare in League. You just cannot do it. And this is why it can be, you know, watching streamers is great and all, and they're really entertaining. But sometimes they can be very detached from, you know, what the average person's gaming experience is like. You know, watch someone who, like an OG streamer, they've played the game for fucking 12 years. You know, it's Quantum. You know, Quantum, he's like a high-level NA player. He's played at a high level for such a long time. That Peck and Wolf, these players, you know, in their mind, the amount of muscle memory they have is unbelievable.
Playing Challenger League games is like brushing their teeth.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And, you know, they might say things. I'm not saying they say it, but certain streamers say it. Like, you know, Master is piss slow and Diamonds are... if you're Diamond, you're subhuman or whatever, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And to them... you know, they're so detached. They have no understanding, no idea, no concept of what it's like to be new to the game. They're just taking their thousands and thousands of games, you know, for granted. So you cannot, you know, take everything with a pinch of salt, understand the gaming background, et cetera, et cetera.
Own your own journey.
Own it.
Get excited.
League's not going anywhere.
No.
It's a marathon. Yeah. Anything else?
I think that's good for that one. It's important to note.
Yep.
Number 9, improvement is not linear. So we sort of covered this a little bit.
We covered this one a little bit. You know, we covered about, you know, you do have to revisit old fundamentals and old learning objectives because you're versing better quality opponents. You've got a story here. You can't keep doing the same thing. A new story.
What was I going to say?
What the hell are you going to talk about here?
You won't get a client, can't keep doing the same thing.
Oh, we'll talk about the other thing while you have a think about that. You know, the lagging effect of your improvement. This was actually covered in one of the recent episodes where, you know, you may improve at something, but you may not see the results until later. So there's kind of the way you want to view it in terms of results in league is that there's a lagging effect from your input. So you might put in, you know, all this effort, all this work, have all these learning objectives, but it's going to take time for that to actually catch up, be embedded into your play and see the results such that you don't, again, you're not going to instantaneously learn something and then get the results. You know, I want to refer back to Simon Sinek. Remember that one with Simon Sinek, where he said, we know that if we go to the gym and we follow this diet and we follow this routine, that we will get in shape or get a six pack. We know it will happen. We just don't know when. Right. And that's the thing. That's one of the challenges we've got to face. We know if we follow the process in league, we develop champ mastery, we have a small champ pool, we champ pool cycle, we play in blocks, we do this, all this stuff, we get coaching. We know we will get results. We just don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know if it takes 3 months, 6 months, 3 weeks, who knows?
I guess you got to be really comfortable with that concept.
It's huge. Absolutely huge.
There's just so many variables, so much chaos. I mean, think about all the aspects of the game of League of Legends, Curtis. Why it's not linear and why it's not just like I'm in maths class and I learn how to do algebra. It's just you could do the practice and be like, oh, I know how to do it now. Items. The game changes every 2 weeks. We've got a whole new map, season 14. The numbers have sort of changed in as well. You know, again, that's sort of the patch notes in terms of damage limits.
People are getting better.
People are getting better. That's the way it works. Yeah.
People are just getting better. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
Yeah.
Remember, we said that as well. There's no such thing as staying where you're at. If you're not improving, you're actually getting worse.
There's so many reasons why, you know, you could be winning or losing games. It could be confusing. Which is sort of going back again, why structuring things, having a process, being objective about your games, reviewing, learning from higher ELO players, all this is going to... again, sort of distract you from the whole idea. Because whenever I say that word improvement, Curtis, I think about people see LP.
Yeah.
LP is not linear.
They substitute improvement for LP.
Yeah, LP.
That's right.
Because our definition of improvement is way different.
That's right.
So the lag in effect of improvement. And I guess it's lag in effect of, I guess, you know, yeah. I mean, LP in a way. But they think the more you get better at the game, the LP will follow. It's as simple as it is. Yep. All right, Curtis, our last one here.
Pacing. Number 10.
Pacing your journey.
Look, you know, the way you want to view it is like, you know, your league journey is truly a marathon. And you got to pace yourself in a marathon. You don't sprint a marathon. And think of it across a year, right? Let's just use a year as an example. During a year of a solo queue journey, you might have a month of tremendous growth. Great learning objectives, stars aligned, you're motivated, real life's going great, excellent. And then, you know, you might lose a bit of motivation, maybe shit happens in real life, things don't go your way, you have to learn a new champion, and you might plateau, you might get no results for 3 months. And then boom, few things click, exponential growth, you spike up an LP, boom. Then you might go backwards a bit, then you might plateau again. The reality is that you're not just going to go up and up and up. You're not going to be peak motivation, consistent three blocks and beautiful reviews every day, excellent champ pool, great mental, no stage four problems the whole year. That's not the way. That's fairyland. You're going to mentally implode. You're gonna crash. You're going to crash the car.
You're going to question why you play the game.
You're going to want to quit.
Yep.
Shit's not going to go your way. The meta might not work for you. Your champ pool might feel shit. You might hate your certain champion. You might have to revisit your champ pool. Something is going to go wrong. I can guarantee you. I don't know what it's going to be. Something will go wrong. And you got to understand that. You got to think big picture. Okay. I don't need to be at 110% intensity every game for the entirety of the year. It's okay to have a period of a month where I'm like, yeah, just need to take a step back from league a little bit. Need to chill a little bit and I'll come back. As long as you're somewhat getting game, staying in touch with the game, maybe you reduce your 3 blocks to 2 blocks. Maybe you're not reviewing as hardcore. Maybe you want to spend some time learning a champion instead of like pushing really, really hard and, you know, whatever. Manage your expectations. You don't need to be 110% for the whole year.
Great advice. I got a question, Curtis. Is League a game where you can go 3 months on, 3 months off, 3 months on, 3 months off, or 4 months on, 8 months off, come back to the game again? Do you think League, you can do that? You think that's fun? Or if you do that, when we talk about it's fine, like, are you going to get, is it worth playing ranked? Are you going to think about achieve the goals that, like, how long realistically do you think it's going to take for people? I guess, again, it just depends on so many factors, but in general, what do you think?
I'm really not a big fan of long breaks, like actual, like full breaks from League. Like I took about 7 to 10 days off, I think it was last, was it even more than that? I can't remember. Last year. And it took me quite a long time to get back into it. Like, I straight up lost my feel for the game. Like, I didn't feel good when I came back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm personally, speaking from my experiences, I'm chocking with breaks. If I take a week off the game, it's hard. It takes longer than a week to get back for me. So I personally don't think I would ever do that sort of 1 month off, 3 months on, 3 months off. I just don't think that would work for League.
Try and think about your clients here, Curtis. Have you had, I mean, everyone, anyone?
Look, okay, I have, if you're going to do this, let's say if you wanted to do this, I think if you're going to do it, you do one break. You wouldn't go on and off. You would do, okay, I'm going to take December off. Boom, cold turkey, not doing it at all for December. And then you're on for like basically the entirety until, you know, start of December again. And then you take that. Like, I think that's fine. Yeah, it'll take you time to get into it. But I just think if you're taking extended breaks, obviously we're talking
constantly.
You want the 1 or 2 days break every now and then throughout the year. But I really don't believe in extended breaks in League for me personally. Mm. And I just don't recommend it. If you have to do it, you have to do it. But I don't think it's wise for League personally.
If you're serious about improving.
If you're serious about improving, that's correct. Yeah. Life comes first, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's always just comes down to, right? Just chipping away at things slowly every day.
Keeping touch with the game. I think keeping touch with it is important. You don't have to, again, you might be slowly getting worse, and that's okay. But there's a very big difference between slowly getting worse and then just completely losing touch with the game, in my opinion.
Well, in terms of slowly getting worse, I mean, that could be in terms of toxic relationship with the game, all sort of stuff, right? Like that could damage you and completely hinder your improvement and ruin it for you know? Good. So, again, I guess it's not black and white. I guess
both not black and white.
Disadvantages and advantages.
That's where it comes into managing expectations, understanding the context of your situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like all of that is crossing uncharted territory.
I mean, I guess we've never done it personally.
So never done that.
For us to say. And if I think about all my clients that do get results, they do chip away at it.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't take big breaks.
Look, I've had people that come have breaks, but it's not like they come back and get insane results.
No,
like
they have to work back to get the result. Exactly.
That's right. Like, they have to work at it for like a month and like, okay, or 3 weeks. All right, finally I'm back. Now I can start my journey. You know, it's never like a, you know, back in rock and rolling.
Actually, recently I had a bunch of people who were master the beginning of the year on the first split. They didn't play much the second split. And the last 2 weeks or so, they came back and then just hit Masters. You know, again, they're not pushing for Grandmaster. They're not even close to that sort of. They're just scraping by at Master after taking some breaks.
Breaks are scary.
All right, Curtis, that does it for our 10 BBC-approved concepts, tips to set you up for success for Season 14, Curtis.
That's it.
So for this episode, I don't think we'll go over our thoughts about the patch.
We'll played do that a couple next of days. Episode, I reckon.
We're sort of lending for things to let it stabilize a bit. Going back to League's a marathon, not a sprint, right? A lot can change in a week, you know? So next episode, we'll talk about season 14.
Yep.
That's it for our ranked guide. Good work, guys. We'll see you in our episode next week.